Hey everyone, this is Johnny Moda. I am at the Kramer booth, the Las Vegas Convention Center, Infocom 2016, booth number C6825. I'm here today with
Victoria Barella, and we have our guests right here.
Hey, Ron Sharon. Yes,
hi. Hi, hi. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us. It's a big show. It's very busy. People are very scheduled and booked out, so we do appreciate the time to talk about actually whatever you want. What would you like to share with us today?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about, first of all, I come from the design consulting side of things, but I've worked enough with integrators and to understand the field side of the business.
Yes.
I think that what's interesting for me to talk about a little bit is where the industry is headed, or where do I think industry is headed. You see stuff in the show here, and it's all about large surface displays, LEDs and such, and you have collaboration, which is becoming a big deal, essentially bringing the control room into, the meeting room into a new kind of era to support new workspaces, and you have anywhere in between, but you also have a significant presence to, So we have LEDs, we have the huddle space areas, and then the distribution, the signal distribution is changing a little bit, going to IP. And all that kind of led me to think, so that's great. But what's also changing is how these things get implemented. So a lot of direct-to-customer relationships are being formed. Display manufacturers are selling directly, especially to large corporate accounts, selling directly. And when you look at the huddle spaces in the meeting rooms, all that stuff is being now done almost like IT department can handle almost everything. Sourcing, installation is pretty simple. That stuff just works on its own. And more equipment has its own intelligence and works on, without the typical integration and things like that. So the integration industry, which fed from the design consulting industry, continuously relied on skill sets of engineering and wiring and building stuff and making a lot of devices that typically don't do anything on their own work together and create a system that does something. And we see more and more, especially with what's happening in the consumer world, where IoT and self-sustaining devices, like devices that have their own intelligence, you can just communicate with an app and work with them, you see that stuff happening now all the time in the consumer world. And I think that that's kind of like the red flags for the residential industry, but that's a different trade show. But you see that happening there, and I ask myself, okay, so now the huddle spaces are getting these BYOD systems, and all you need is basically a display and some kind of wireless gateway, and you're all set for a small meeting room. And in addition to that, the workforce of today and tomorrow, young people such as yourself, not so much me, are really looking into collaboration on one to two people, four people, collaboration, instant feedback loops, a lot of workshopping together. They need small meeting rooms. They don't need the big boardrooms that everybody used to extend, create and wire, and all the integrators made money off of. So question is, okay, so with all that, the trends towards self-contained devices, smaller meeting spaces, stuff that works together better out of the box, and all that, where does it lead the industry to? And I'm thinking that one of the things that I wanted to just kind of like mention or suggest as ideas is that the integration industry has relied on multiple skill sets of wiring things together to make them into systems, whereas the new wire is just a network cable, or even it's wireless sometimes. And really, what do you do with that? So at some point, you need to start figuring out, okay, so I'm going to be creating systems that only use networks, maybe use a lot less devices, I'm going to be selling a lot less devices. How would I be making a business out of that? What's the business case? And I think there is a business case, and I think the business case lies in understanding what products are available out there, how can these products be managed centrally, how can you economize on the investments and make sure that these things are running, returning the investment, running constantly, being maintained. So in other words, a service model. So I'm thinking the industry could maybe start using up more and more service models beyond the typical maintenance agreements of we're going to make sure that if this thing breaks, we'll send somebody over, diagnose it, replace it. More about making sure that we make sure your AV runs, essentially. We make sure your rooms are booked and running. We make sure that every system is functional. Something is a downtime, we know about it in advance. We make sure that stuff gets replaced. And with all that being said, a service model is what I think is interesting for the industry. Also, for the whole rack building and the whole shop building stuff, those will still exist, but I think to a lesser degree. So I think that the model would be maybe trying to find, again, in the service side, creating integration apps, or basically to integrate a code that would make things work together and create a differentiator for an integrator X versus integrator Y. So that's another kind of suggestion that I may be presenting to the people who are building the systems of this world. And really, that's the extent of the message on the integrator side. On the design consulting side, again, since the devices of today really work well out of the box and they create systems of their own, like mini meeting rooms, mini control systems, etc. Even displays can generate their own digital signage, right? So how do you design a system around that? Again, the design would rely more on software, on management, on utilization, and less on making stuff work together because it's already happening. And that's on the design consulting side, is something that I'm looking at workspaces and designing workspaces that will be used in, you know, a few years down the line, where people no longer have their own rooms, they have shared desks. It's not even cubicles anymore, right? It's a shared workspace, WeWork style, right? So in those workspaces, what do you have? You have a computer, you don't even have a phone anymore in many cases. What you need is you need a lot of huddle spaces, easily scheduled or maybe even ad hoc, and you need things to work. So designers who are designing these workspaces, I think, should be aware of these kind of needs and try to implement or try to suggest designs that utilize such equipment, which is standalone, very easy configurable, usable by your own devices, basically a BYOD system or environment. And then, with that being said, you can create an industry that caters to what I think is a workspace of tomorrow, creates businesses out of the technology and the needs of the people who work in the workspace of tomorrow, and hopefully making, you know, continuing the Pro AV business run along. I think that one of the tough case studies that we should learn from is the residential AV, where for years they've been trying to create or capitalize on their ability to supply you with a system that works together and try to make you not buy your stuff at Best Buy. And I think that failed miserably. And with the exception of luxury residential stuff, a lot of that market has now been reduced to, you know, there's a lot less business out there. And I think the Pro AV industry, I don't think it's an imminent threat, but I think it's interesting to learn from that case study that we need to find what people use, how they use it, what's available out there, and help them create value out of our services, be it design or integration, to use these things, as opposed to trying to make them use the stuff we know and are comfortable with.
Johnny, do you have a bounce back on that? Do you have any feelings?
No, nothing that's not going to result in a super long conversation. So that being said, anyone listening has more questions for you or wants to learn more about this ideas that you have and moving forward, is there a website or an email that they can reach out to you?
Well, it's easy. The email will be the easiest, I guess. Iran, E-R-A-N, at iransharon.com.
Perfect. And then do you have any questions, Victoria?
I do. Well, as a millennial coming into the industry, Yes. So I've been working in it maybe a year and a half max, but I'd like some advice from you. Is there anything that, you know, myself or anyone coming into the industry should know right off the bat, like, hey, this is what we need to know, run with it, or any other advice?
No, I think this industry is all about technology, so you're comfortable if you like technology, if you like how technology is being used in a workspace or in a museum or in a visitor center or retail store, then you're already off to a good start. I think for a person of your, you know, of your type of learning style, I think self-learning and working with other people who are in industry would be the best. So networking, probably better than anything else I can recommend in kind of enrichment and being able to promote yourself or understand or learn more. And then there's, of course, the new world of branding. So each one of us has a brand. So if I were to say anything, try to contribute back to the industry and have your name stamped on it, be it you're writing articles or blogs or, you know, whatever you think is worthwhile to give back to the other people who are just like you, looking for feedback and collaboration and kind of like working together as opposed to independent silos. By giving back and also having some kind of identity on that stuff you give back, you promote your own brand. And I think individual brands were not that common in the AV industry for a long time because it's all been firms, you know, but I think it's different times now.
Yeah.
And I think that with social media, everybody has their own stage and broadcast their own ideas. Mm-hmm. So having your name on it creates a brand for yourself.
Yeah, fortunately, Rafe Pubs was able to be like, hey, you should be doing podcasts and blogging with us. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, as a young person, hopefully, you know, there are readers that read my blogs and, you know, what we have to say. But I'm on an AVP show every week and we talk to many guests and, you know, I get to learn more. I have a fun time. I talk to people. And Johnny has his own show, too.
and I don't remember the name. I'm just kidding. It's called AV Insider on Rave Pubs Radio.
You do know the name.
So yeah, we love Rave Pubs, and we love connecting with people and talking with them and seeing what the industry is all about. So I do agree with you. Yes.
That's great. Yeah, just make sure. I mean, like I said, it's a two-way street on the whole thing. As long as you put your stamp on the reply, you got your brand out there.
All right. Any cool last words?
The super long conversation will wait for some other time.
No, we will have to invite you back on a longer show.
Okay.
I think that's what we should. We'll get your card and we'll have you back for a full in-depth conversation.
Happy to do.
So thank you so much for your time, everyone. This has been the Trade Show Minute.
And we are out.